like to refer to three scriptures, and the first is in Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. That's on page 822 in the Bible I'm using. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, and a time to die, and so on. Epistle to the Galatians, and chapter 4, page 1406. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, come of woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive sonship. And then finally, in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, on page 1394. 2 Corinthians 6, middle of verse 2. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. It will be evident, dear friends, that these scriptures all refer to time. And I just want to speak very briefly and simply tonight in relation to time. Time is something that we're very much bound by. And for most of us, we're always complaining that there's not enough of it. But you know, time was brought in by God. God is from eternity to eternity. But we live in time. And what is referred to often as the dip into time. When God has worked out his plan in relation to creation and man. And time is not infinite. You might say, well, that's an obvious statement. But it's not. And as the preacher points out here in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. Now, most men accept that because it's the truth. And they'll quite glibly quote it and say, oh, well, that's fine. You have your time and then that's it. But what about after death, dear friend? What then? James tells us, after death, sorry, it's in Hebrews, and for as much as it is a portion of men once to die, and after this, judgment. Man likes to think that death's the end. But, dear friend, I can assure you, it is far from the end. And, dear friend, what happens in time in your life affects your eternal destiny. So that's why when we refer to time in relation to the gospel, it's so vital that you understand your need of a living link with the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who, as it says in Galatians 2, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. You know, I think it's remarkable that from the fall of man, when man fell right at the beginning, right at the outset, God waited so many thousand years before bringing in Christ so that man could be tried in every possible department. He knew he would fail, but nevertheless, man was tried. And then it says, when the fullness of the time was come, God's timing was absolutely perfect, dear friend. And it remains so. God sent forth his Son. Well, dear friends, you know, the preacher a few weeks back in Blair really affected me when he said that the plan of salvation is so great that it can only have been devised by divine persons. And that really affected me, you know. The fact that the blessed God, the creator of the universe, sent his own Son into this world to be ultimately rejected and placed on a Roman cross to suffer for the sins that you and I had committed. It's absolutely remarkable. It really is. Despite the fact that, you know, and I include myself in one of them, as being privileged to be brought up in a Christian household and sat under countless preachings hearing of it, it should never dull us in our appreciation of the sacrifice that God made in Christ. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? See if there be sorrow like unto my sorrow. Prophetically speaking of the Lord Jesus. No one knew sorrow like Jesus, you know. No one. Because he felt keenly what sin had done to the creation. It was absolutely perfect when it was made, you know. God said, it is good. And yet, by one act of disobedience, sin came into the world. And by sin, death. And thus death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. There's no argument. There's no argument. You might claim to not be a sinner, but the scripture tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, my grandfather often used to say, and I've probably said this here before, but if you don't believe you're a sinner, there's no Saviour for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thanks be to God. And so, dear friends, he came in ultimately to display the heart of God to the lost creation, to lost and ruined sinners like you and I. What a pathway it was. The sinless life of Jesus, you know. Absolutely unique in every way. How essential it is that you understand that, dear friend. He took part in manhood. But he was sinless. And how important that is that you understand that. Because he was to become the sacrifice that was to secure your eternal blessing and mine. And it's often affected me that despite the fact that that life was perfect, you know, and that it was so pleasing to God, and it was referred to today about the heavens opening and God declaring his delight upon the head of Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. The one man that had kept the law and made it honourable. What delight God had in the pathway of his Son. But you know, it wasn't enough. If we were to be brought into blessing, it involved that perfect, spotless life. Be given up in death. And so he went that way, dear friend. And I often find it affecting as well that it tells us in the scriptures, it tells us, it refers it several times in the gospels about how those who hated him desired to take him, desired to kill him, but they weren't able because it wasn't the time. It wasn't the time. And when they did come to take him, initially, he said, I am he. And it says they fell away backward. How impressive that is that you understand, dear friend, that if the Lord Jesus had not submitted himself into the hands of wicked men, he could never have been taken. That just shows the greatness of who is here. God manifest in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. What a saviour he is, dear friend. And so he submitted himself. You think of that. You think of the agonies that went through his spirit and his soul in the garden. When he knew, because he knew all that it would entail. And you know, we cannot take it in. We can't take it in any case, but particularly take in the fact that as a sinless man, he was made sin. He was made sin for us. And we'll never, I don't think we'll ever fully appreciate or understand what that meant for Jesus, you know. But he was prepared to be made sin in order that God might judge sin and sins in its entirety on the head of Christ. It should affect your heart, dear friend. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. You just point them to Calvary. "'Twas there my Saviour suffered," the hymn writer could say, "and tasted death for me." Well, I can say that. What about you, dear friend? What about you? And you know, the judgment that was placed on the head of Christ was so great that man was not permitted to look upon it. Think about that. The whole scene, clothed in darkness, when God meted out that awful judgment on the head of Jesus. It was so awful that no one was allowed to look upon it. It was a transaction between the Father and the Son. When Christ was forsaken, he says, "My, you know, do you think it was easy? You just have to look at the scriptures and what the Lord Jesus says. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The one and only time that had been the case. He had to be abandoned, dear friend, in order that the whole sin question might be dealt with for once and for all. And that the blessed God might have a righteous basis to come out in blessing to you and I who were hell-deserving sinners. Well, that transaction took place, and then we have those powerful words, "It is finished." You think of that. You think of the fact that Christ knew that the work had been completed. And he delivered up his spirit in control to the very end, dear friend. You and I have no control over when we die. No control at all. But the Lord Jesus had full control. And it says he delivered up his spirit. Soldier in hatred came along, pierced his side. And what does it say? Forthwith came out blood and water. Thank God for the precious shed blood of Jesus, you know. Without which, the scripture tells us, there is no remission for sins. You think of the thousands of beasts that were slain in the old economy, during the old covenant. We're speaking about the different covenants this afternoon. The thousands of beasts that were slain. It says, the scripture says, they were incapable of taking away sin. But that covenant was made, dear friend, as a forerunner to the perfect sacrifice of Christ. Because his blood was shed once and it never needs to be repeated. It's just as efficacious today or effective today as it was when it was first shed over 2,000 years ago. How marvelous is that? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And that's the only place of safety tonight, dear friend. Sheltering under the precious shed blood of Christ. Is that your portion, dear friend? You know, I referred to, in relation to time, and there not being very much of it. There is a time coming, dear friend, and very soon, when the Lord Jesus is coming back for all those who put their faith and trust in him. And you know why that is, dear friend? Because he's no longer in death. He was raised on the third day. You think of it though, how affecting it is that the Lord of life and glory, the one who was the originator of life, lay in death. You think of that. But it was impossible that such a one should remain in death. Absolutely impossible. And so it tells us the scripture that on the third day, God raised him. He was raised by the glory of the Father. And you know, he's now at the Father's right hand and he's crowned with glory and honour. What a position Jesus fills, you know. And I just love to think of it. You know, he's there tonight, and to think of the windows and doors of heaven wide open. Wide open in blessing. As the gospel message is presented. Thank God it doesn't only go out on a Lord's Day. It goes out every day. And they can go out, dear friend, because Christ is risen. If Christ is not raised, the scripture says, you are still in your sins. Well, dear friends, thanks be to God that we know that I can tell you for a fact that he is risen. And that he desires, dear friend, to be your saviour. And so, in Corinthians it says, behold, now is the well-accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Dear friend, we do not know what lies before any one of us. There was a chap who played in our tennis club. And a few weeks ago, he took part in a match, went out of an evening, and towards the end of the evening, collapsed on the court with a heart attack and died. Now that man left his house thinking he would be back in a few hours' time. Never returned. We do not know what a day might bring forth, dear friend. We do not know. And so that is why it is vital, dear friend, that you are conscious of a living link with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other salvation. We live in a world that loves to offer alternatives. In fact, the more the better. But when it comes to salvation, there is only one way. And you know, it's not a popular message. But there is one way. And there is one man. There is only one man that God has before him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one, he's my Saviour. He's the one who's died for my sins and shed his blood in order that my sins might be covered. The greatness of the work is that it's so great that it's sufficient to save everyone in the universe. But it's such a personal thing, dear friend. Because you have to accept him for yourself. It's no good relying on the faith of your parents or the faith of someone else. It's not good enough. You need to have a personal link with the Saviour. You need to come to a personal realization of your sinnership and your unacceptability before God as a sinner. You accept that you're a sinner in need of a Saviour and that God has provided one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, dear friend, that's all I've got to say. A very simple message, but just desire that you might be conscious that while you still have the time, right here in your seat, that each one, before they leave this room tonight, is conscious of a living link with Jesus. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.